It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. In a few days, Apple will begin one of its biggest annual events, WWDC. The D there stands for developers, and the Worldwide Developers Conference is for them. Of course, it's also a big chance for the company to get people excited about its products of the hardware and software variety. Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood joins me now. Hi, Molly. Let's talk about Apple developers.
WWDC is crucial for Apple because it gets developers excited to remain on that platform. And they've gotten away with a couple, you know, you could argue a couple down years. Couple down rounds. And the reason that they get away with that is because developers make a lot of money off the Apple platform. Mm. There are more paid apps, significantly more paid apps on iOS than there are on Android. Most of those apps are free. At some point, though, they want a challenge. They want to be on an exciting platform. There is actually a lot of pressure on Apple this year to prove that they're doing cool technology that people are going to want to keep consuming and paying for.
So how do developers stay interested in building stuff for Apple's products?
Well, and if you look at the stable of Apple products, it's actually expanding in a way that's making it a little more confusing to develop for because there are a bunch of different phone sizes.
Right.
There are a bunch of different tablet sizes. There's Apple TV, and Apple's making a big push toward developing apps for TV. Mm-hmm. And they're asking you to develop apps for the watch.
Right. Do you think that we will see more developers building for other companies?
Developers are tinkerers by nature, and they're really smart geeks. And really smart geeks usually like a challenge. You might start to see a slow trickle of defection. Now, Apple still, even as a value stock, is a very, very safe place to be. So I don't think you're going to see a massive defection of developers. But I think you're going to start to see them say, like, oh, I'm kind of curious about this Amazon Echo.
Right.
And all of these companies are desperately trying to siphon off those developers. And I think they might start stepping out.
Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood. Molly, thanks for hanging out.
So happy to be here.
By the way, I joined Molly in this week's version of her audio column, The Dispatch. You can find that at marketplacetech.org. Also, speaking of developers and users, we now know from a report on the website The Verge that Apple plans to shift its cost and revenue sharing model in the App Store to an incentivized subscription model for developers. It could represent a huge shift in the economics of the App Store for developers, users, and Apple itself. The company also said it would start placing ads in App Store search results, another big shift for Apple's app ecosystem and a way for the company to make more cash. News came this week that long waits have finally subsided for the HTC Vive virtual reality headset. It's been for sale for a few months, but hard to get. The mobile company now says that its $800 device ships within 3 business days of ordering. If you want the new Oculus Rift virtual reality headset, you're gonna have to wait till August. A new Forrester report looks at the next 4 years and whether VR will go mainstream. The report features a big number, 52 million VR headsets on people's faces by the year 2020. JP Gounder is principal analyst with Forrester and lead author of this report. Hi, JP. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Put that number in context for me in the year 2020. Is it a big number?
52 million headsets is a reasonable number, but I don't think people should be fooled into thinking that this is the next smartphone or something like that. Even the game console market would be bigger. There are probably 90 million monthly users of current game consoles.
What needs to happen for virtual reality to be successfully and broadly adopted in your mind?
Well, clearly there are some retailing challenges. A lot of people have never experienced virtual reality before. Then if you go to retail, the problem is volume of people. And there have been lines because, it's a one-person-at-a-time experience. So it's really hard to know what it is you're getting into unless you've tried it before, and that's the chicken and egg.
I expected from this report that you'd be pretty bullish on virtual reality adoption, but you seem kind of bearish.
I'm actually pretty bullish, but I would say that we have to just be a little bit careful. So I think it's important to contextualize these virtual reality headsets. You will see incredibly interesting experiences, both for consumers and also for businesses. I'll give you one really cool example. Six Flags, the old theme park company is retrofitting its roller coasters with VR headsets that you actually wear while you're on the ride. And what this does is it actually changes their business model considerably. It's really hard to get people to ride on a roller coaster more than once. But imagine if you had 10 different VR experiences. You could be riding a dragon the first time, a submarine the second time, a spaceship the third time, etc. So it has a lot of potential. It's just important to make sure we don't overhype it at the same time.
JP Gounder is principal analyst with Forrester. JP, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
You may have heard that newer Lexus vehicle navigation and infotainment systems around the country ran into purple dashboard screens of sadness this week after a software update delivery went bad. The update was delivered over the air, as it's called, from Lexus to vehicle owners via a cell connection. Lexus now says a weather data service it uses was to blame for bricking navigation systems. This is not the first time over-the-air updates have created issues for modern cars. And guess what? It won't be the last either, because it usually works. Here's Edmunds consumer advice editor Ron Montoya.
I think over-the-air is the future. You know, as cars get more advanced, there's more chance of bugs in the system, and sometimes they need to be corrected, or if the manufacturer wants to add new features to a vehicle, they can do that over-the-air. I think this could be a great benefit to people that have these high-tech cars.
Lexus says a visit to your local dealership and a system reset should fix the issue. By the way, we did a whole episode for our digital podcast, Codebreaker, about software updates and the problems that can come with them. Find that episode number 4 at codebreaker.codes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.